The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
Needles in my heart, spell on my mind, your powerful potion gets me every time. I toss and turn, I can't sleep, your kiss burns through my dreams. Here it comes again, I don't stand a chance. Soul possession got me in a trance, pulling me back to you.
Deja voodoo.
Fire in the dark, ponding in my brain, driven by the chant, calling out my name. I don't stand a chance. Soul possession got me in a trance. Here it comes again, pulling me back to you.
Deja voodoo. Brought to you by WKTV. I'm your ghost hunting host, Wayne Preston Curtis Thomas. Welcome to another episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. As always, we ask that you please keep an open mind about things that you might not easily believe as we explore the mysterious. Speaking of mysterious, please welcome to the show Mama Mary Bassett. She's been a light to my path. Mama Mary, explain your spookiness to us.
Wow. Well, that's a whole lot of spookiness, but I'm a psychic channeler and a mental medium. I work out of Hastings, Michigan, and it's great to be here with all of you.
And also, the third gear to our magic bus, please welcome to the show my co-host, Kim Colleen.
Hi, everybody. Yes, been a co-host for almost the entire length of our podcast, and I'm really happy to introduce a friend of mine that I met. She's down in Louisiana, and I'm up in Michigan, along with my co-host, but she was born and raised a Louisiana Cajun lady, and she is a clairaudience communicator and can sense vibrations in the environment. Adele Guidry.
That's me. Thanks so much, Kim.
a little bit more. You can also interpret through emotions or mental image cues. So right. That is amazing. And we're going to talk about all of this because you've got some talents along with some voodoo heritage.
Right.
A lot of people are probably interested what this all means.
Right.
Well, so tell us about yourself.
Absolutely. I'm a, you know, middle-aged, just run-of-the-mill lady from Louisiana. There's not really much super special about me. We were raised Catholic, and I always had a interest in the occult and, you know, witchcraft and you know, psychic phenomena and ghosts and communication with the beyond. From a really, really young age, I experienced clairaudience. And I think that maybe in my later years, I understand a little more about like the emotional transference and the vibrations that I feel that I pick up on. But I think that having the background and the upbringing that I had, I was raised partially by my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, who was a faith healer. And in Louisiana, a faith healer is referred to as a traiteur. And each traiteur is kind of passed on the gift of healing from, you know, like an older generation. And it's a continuation, a generational continuation. And I can remember my grandmother treated for warts. And I can remember this younger man showing up with this little girl who was about my age. And my grandmother took her over to the window, and she stared out of the window and kind of, you know, mumbled under her breath and took her hand and just kind of passed her hand along the little girl's face where her warts were. Like, she had warts on her eyelid. Ooh. And her eyelid was so deformed that she couldn't blink her eyes. And I remember being just, you know, as a really little kid, maybe 6 or 7 years old, really just, you know, enthralled by what was going on. And I don't know if all faith healers do this, but the traiteurs insist that you don't thank them and you don't pay them and you don't try to give any monetary or you know, favors or anything like that to act as a payment. You just pray for them. And my grandmother prayed over that little girl. And I know that we were probably maybe in my grandfather's garden, and we saw the man's truck pull up, and he was putting a sack of sweet potatoes on the front steps at my grandmother's house. And she started screaming, "No, no, like take the potatoes away. Don't leave that here. Oh my goodness." Like, I don't know what the consequences of that would have been. But it just, you know, the urgency of it was just so odd. And he had the little girl with him, and all of her warts were gone. And growing up, having such a huge impact, something that huge happened and makes such a huge impression on you as a really young child. And then growing up and seeing the things that she would do and the people that she would come in contact with. I had warts on my knee. I had a sprained ankle, and she, you know, put her hand on me and just kind of, you know, mutter her little prayer. And I asked her about it one day, and I asked what was going on. And she said, "Well, I say the Our Father in French." Hmm. So the question that came up for me was, well, is this Catholicism or is this voodoo?
Yeah.
And I've kind of become a little bit of a student of, I mean, an amateur at best, student of witchcraft and the effect that that we have on our lives as a culture here, from voodoo, from you know, Caribbean and Western African voodoo, and from witchcraft, just straight up pagan witchcraft. And I'm sure that Mother Mary could speak to some of this, that a lot of what goes on here, a lot of what we do as part of our observance of our religion and just maybe traditions in the way that we live our lives has so much more to do with witchcraft and voodoo than it does with Catholicism. It's almost like a dilution of everything into one thing. Like Louisiana was described as a melting pot. New Orleans was a melting pot. And I think that in that melting pot, there was, you know, all these different Caribbean religions, West African religions, Spanish traditions, and French, you know, traditions. And everything just became a big melange of ooky spooky, you know. it's voodoo, but it's voodoo that's specific to us. It's mm-hmm. not Caribbean voodoo. It's not West African hoodoo. It's our own thing. It's a Creole thing. So,
you know, you ask Mama Mary if she had heard of this. I was interested too. They're like traitors or traitors, how you say that. With mm-hmm. Had you heard of that, Mama Mary, or just in a different terms?
I haven't. And, you know, the voodoo is one of the things I have not researched and have always found fascinating. You know, like one of my biggest questions was going to be, what's the difference between voodoo and hoodoo? Because I've researched that a little bit, and they do have ties, but everything's different. I agree exactly with what she's saying about witchcraft and ties into other religions. One of my favorite sayings, it doesn't really matter what path you're taking, it's all the same ending. really, it's all a matter of having faith in a higher power. That's what religion is, really, is just giving you something to grab onto so that you will have faith and you will have love to raise the vibration. That's the point.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
if you're using rituals, I think that's the intent. It doesn't matter whether you're, it's what sect of religion you are. It's the intent right. behind it, or what you want to call it. You know, we heard witch already on this show, and that kind of takes a tone that has got a bad tone, maybe through Hollywood or whatever, through reputation, but it has to do with healing. And hoodoo Absolutely. And voodoo has to do with using herbs and things like from the earth to do your healing with. And I think that's where the origin comes from, is they didn't have those things. So they had to come up with their own roots and stuff, because a root doctor is another term for someone who deals with the voodoo or hoodoo. I think the difference between hoodoo and voodoo, maybe voodoo has to do with possession and evil spirits more so than hoodoo, which is kind of just a folk practice.
Right. I think it's a regional thing as well. I think that maybe voodoo is left a little open to interpretation for practice, for regional practice. And there's a lot of things that you can draw comparisons with. The French and the Spanish living in Louisiana were not the rich property owners. They were not they didn't have these huge plantations. If there's plantations around here, they usually have English or Irish surnames attached to them. And it's not universally true. It's just one of the things regionally here that you can notice that, why is the in the thick of the all the French people, why is the town named Millerville or something like that, when the place next to it is La Place and the place on the other side is like Grandet or something like that. It's, you expect that it's so rich in French culture that, you'd expect that it would be the same across the board. But the thing about what happened here generations ago is that everybody sort of melded with everyone else, with cooking, with religion, with, almost in every way that you can live with other people, everybody just kind of came together and melded together. And it's like almost its own subculture of the greater, I don't want to say that racism doesn't exist or that, any kind of, ill will towards each other for our differences exists. But I think that in historically in Louisiana, especially in this area of Louisiana, maybe not now, but historically, we've celebrated our differences by coming together with our differences much more so than saying, well, those people do it that way and we do it this way. It was much more of a melding of practices where anything, cooking, dancing, religion, celebrating, grieving, every way that a person lives their lives, we melded together. I sincerely don't know if I'm more French or if I'm more Spanish because because everything just kind of got melded together. My sister did a 23andMe DNA test and it was like a little bit of everything, mm-hmm. It's just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you just accept it, you just go along with it. It's who you are and it's what makes you you. And I think that I was discussing with my mom the other day about the ways that we apply voodoo in our daily lives. Mm-hmm. We have different festivals at like churches and stuff like that. And there's the Festival of St. Joseph, I think last year was the year of Saint Joseph, where, you know, I'm not a practicing Catholic, but I really like the fancy outfits and the dressing up and the boogie boogie in church. It's really cool. It's fun. It's a good time. But Saint Joseph's altar is something where you bring food and you bring dry goods and you bring all of this stuff. And when I was younger, there were all these different things about, like, you know, what you could do to get the sneak peek at the man you were going to marry. It was like, you know, the penultimate achievement of any girl from the South is, what man are you going to marry? So we were told to go to St. Joseph's altar and steal a lemon, but not to let the priest see you. Bring it home. Put it under your bed and wait until it turned green and with mold, of course. And yeah, you would dream of the man you were going to marry. And I just thought, that is not Catholicism. And to this day, I have a red bean. I have a dry red kidney bean in the change purse of my wallet. Because if you put a red kidney bean from St. Joseph's altar in your wallet, you'll never be poor.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's Catholicism. The Pope totally sanctions that, you know, like, but you'd say something to my mom or my grandmother and they'd say, oh, no, babe, that's everybody does that. And it's not the truth. That's voodoo. That's magic ritual.
No, like, I'm with you. I like the Catholics. I've been to a lot of different churches. The Catholics are like an aerobic exercise. You're up on your knees.
Stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight.
So I like them, but I've been to like several different churches and checked them all out. And the Catholics have a saint for every occasion. So that could come in handy for you.
And like, isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that the Catholic saints for every occasion coincide with like the pagan gods and the Norse gods and the African gods and the Spanish, you know, Spanish deities. And, you know, it's funny. It's funny how that happens, that it just kind of molds itself into whatever it needs to be. That's probably one of my favorite things about Catholicism, is that they adapt.
Yeah, that is interesting. And then yeah, I rely on the Catholics if I need an exorcist.
Right.
And I've come across that, being a ghost hunter, you know.
Right.
So that's interesting. Now, was it your grandmother or your great-grandmother that was the influence for you?
My grandmother was probably the biggest influence. I think that she started me reading cards, and we had a tarot deck that had playing cards. I'm sure Mother Mary knows this one.
Yeah,
it had playing card faces on the card with the tarot and the description of each one. And it's almost like that was mother's milk for me, with maybe learning how to channel and develop any kind of psychic abilities. She never came out and said it, because things are kind of thick on the ground here. Like, you can't, there's a saying, you can't spit and not hit two of something. Like, you can't spit and not hit two people who are psychic, or you can't spit and not hit two houses that aren't haunted. You know, there's a, it's kind of thick on the ground, and you might maybe lose a little credibility by saying, you know, I'm psychic or I read cards or something like that. There's probably two or three people in each family that do, but it's kind of hard to weed out the people who are 100% legitimate with that kind of stuff.
What's the name of the deck, the tarot deck you use?
I don't remember what the name of it was, but I know it had it came in a little box and it had a velvet color cover. And
what, Mama Mary, what tarot deck do you use?
I use a Native American one. I use, my main one when I read is Native American. And that was like the first one I got when I was 16. But I have several Oracle decks, like the Gypsy Tarot, little, right, you know, little things like that.
I think it really
depends.
I think it was a gypsy tarot, but it had face, like the face cards.
Yeah. So when you described it, that's the first thing that popped in my head because they were smaller, right? But they have the face like cards, but they tell you, tell you things.
So when I read cards, I get like mental flashes of things, and I give descriptions to the best of my ability. I really sincerely try to give the best descriptions, but sometimes you don't know what something is until you see it. So the mental images kind of come in flashes. I think probably in the last maybe 3 or 4 years, I've kind of leaned into it. My kids are older, and I guess I have more time to mentally devote to maybe looking into it a little bit more. And I've started to sense more vibrations. And I've had a couple pretty scary, interesting experiences with the clairaudience lately. I think that
clairaudience, for viewers and listeners, it's hearing. Sorry. You hear things. Right. You might have to explain that to them because they might not know.
Okay, well,
all those clair senses.
Right.
So you hear things that are from the other side. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes. And I think that they, I think it really started with wildlife. I thought that the birds were saying my name. There would be, a gaggle of birds, or, you know, birds all lined up, maybe eating, or, you know, just kind of squawking like birds. And I would hear them say my name. And I thought that it was just, you know, me being weird, and mentioned it several times to several people, and started to actually start to hear, maybe not full sentences, but fragmented sentences. And my grandmother told me that if I prayed about it, I could determine how things were going to work out, how things were going to pan out. And I can't say that I'm fantastic at it, but she taught me very young how to shut down, like how to kind of close shop spiritually so that this wouldn't be a nuisance or any kind of detriment to my life. There have been times where,
yeah, you can't be engaged 24 hours a day.
Right.
Is it draining for you? Absolutely. Your energy?
It's so completely draining that I don't think that anybody who isn't maybe partially empathic or psychic in some kind of way would understand how it just completely saps everything you have. The empathic end of what goes on with me kind of comes in. I'm a cancer patient too. And when I go to the doctor, it takes a couple days for me to find my feet, to get my feet under me. It's a highly emotional, very, very draining experience. And it's not even the other patients. It's right now, especially with, you know, the pandemic and everything, it's the doctors and the nurses. They're out of control. These people need so much help and so much love, and it's just absolutely draining.
Yeah.
So
you said after the first bout of cancer, then did your powers like excel at that point?
Absolutely. I think through the roof, skyrocketed. I was being touched.
Was it a near death experience?
It wasn't. I don't want to say that it was
a near death. Brush. It was a brush on that other side.
Yeah. It was a rough one. I'm not going to lie about it, but I think I got really close to the veil. And I think that being that close to the veil, you take things away from it.
Well, Kim can relate to you.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's something.
You guys know each other's stories?
Well, I don't know Kim's story in detail, but Kim and I have kind of come together on that and said, you know, we have that in common. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Both survivors.
Yeah.
Right.
I too, you know, was at death's door and actually physically had a doctor tell me face to face, you wouldn't have lasted much longer, you know.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. It's just one of those things. But I get nervous too.
Yeah, you're knocking on the door. So now you've got a more of a keen sense to that other side.
Absolutely.
Mama and Mary was born with it. She is born with her gifts, right, Mama Mary?
I was, and everybody's born with a gift. Everybody right. literally has this gift. There's nothing more unique, just some shut it off. And then right. like for me, I kind of shut it off, even though I was really interested in it. And then slowly in my young 20s started developing it again. Because right. at some point you turn it off, you know, because people think you're weird. Right. When you're 8 years old and you're sitting in your room and you hear somebody calling your name and you walk downstairs because you think your parents called you and they're like, oh, we didn't call you. So you're like, oh. Or when you're chasing butterflies and people are wondering what you're chasing, but you can see them, I think. Eventually, you just kind of pull away from it a little bit.
You know, there was something I remembered from when I was very, very young. I remember the Muppet Show. And
oh, yeah.
I remember the Rainbow Connection.
Uh-huh.
And when Kermit sang, have you been half asleep and have you heard voices? I hear them calling my name. I remember weeping as a child.
Oh no.
Because Kermit's
talking about me.
Kermit gets it.
Yeah.
Kermit's the real deal.
Wow.
So yeah, the Rainbow Connection's always been super special to me. And you know, Kermit the Frog and the Muppets as a whole, but it's the first time you feel seen. And as a child, I guess maybe Kermit the Frog is probably one of the best gateways to being seen and understood. So yeah, being born with it, I think getting closer to trauma probably plugs in an amplifier to
it. Yeah. Is there anything else you do that promotes that, your gifts?
I think if I concentrate hard enough, if I concentrate on it hard enough, I do, for people who know me and know me well, I'll do like spiritual cleansings in their house if they're moving into a rent house or something like that. And I can physically feel the vibrations on normally wooden surfaces. I don't know if sheetrock transfers too much of energy, but it's like natural surfaces, metals and woods and, you know, stone. And I will get mental images, mental flashes. When Mother Mary, would that be channeling?
Yeah, in a sense. It's
in a sense.
Yeah, it's feeling the energy and the vibration because everything's energy. So tapping right. into, and you know, the more you tune into that, the more you tap into other things as you realize that everything's energy and you can feel it. That's a big thing about empath, especially when it's that developed. And right. you find yourself with depression, anxiety, half the time you're absorbing energy that you don't even realize is coming.
It's
at
not
you.
Even mine. It's not mine.
Yeah. It's all yeah, about family, definitely.
I started listening to podcasts about 4 years ago, and I would hear things in my AirPods. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, you know, like, I need to back that up. I didn't catch that part, you know. If it was a podcast where several people were speaking, and I'd back it up and it wasn't there. And it was like, maybe if you don't shut it down hard enough, or you don't set your boundaries as healthily as you need to with, especially clairaudience, because it comes from nowhere. I mean, it just comes at you. You know, reminding a podcast to listen to what whoever said, to see if you can understand what they said and it's not there on replaying, it is frustrating.
Yeah. You know?
Or being touched in public, or having your clothes tugged, or
scratched.
I've never been scratched.
Oh,
but I did have one experience, and that was another situation where I had to have a really good session with myself to say, we need to tone this down. We need to turn down the volume on this. I went to the movies with my husband, and I went into the restroom, and a child who was not alive peeked under the door while I was in the restroom. And I said, we're not doing this. We're right. not participating in this. I don't need to have a heart attack at the movie theater. It's just not good for me. But, you know, those things can come upon you in a surprising way that upsets you. My mom sees dead people, and she sees dead people that she recognizes. And she said, not to get gross, but she almost wets her pants every single time. It's very abrupt. It's very sudden. And we've discussed, you know, her trying to shut it down so that she can, you know, kind of cool things down and be able to manage herself. But with the clairaudience, it's the same thing. Sitting in a restroom and hearing someone in a restaurant, I'm sorry, not a restroom.
Yeah.
I go places that aren't restrooms, I promise. But sitting in a restaurant and hearing someone, you know, incessantly clearing their throat and clearing their throat and clearing their throat, you turn around to see who it is and there's nothing there. Or to hear someone saying something to you from behind you and know that you're seated against the wall. Yeah. You know, you have to kind of play it cool in public when things like that are happening. And a lot of times you have to, flex the muscle of being able to tone that down. And you can turn it up when you need to. You know, it's almost like a, not volume control, but maybe vibration control. But there are some situations where vibrations are so strong that it'll make me physically sick.
Oh, yeah. Dizzy, nauseous?
Dizzy, nauseous. It'll mess with my equilibrium. Hmm. And I thought for a while that I had really terrible vertigo.
Yeah.
But I meditated a bit on it and it wasn't vertigo. It was me. Having problems. You know, you have to self-diagnose, but go to the doctor and they're telling you one thing and you come home and, you know, nothing's working. And yeah, you start to realize it's me.
Right. Yeah. No one's ever explained that as well on the show about the need, you know, to be able to set that. I know we've talked about boundaries, how they'll have boundaries. They don't want you coming. You don't want ghosts coming in the shower with you, stuff like
right.
that. But you need also have the need to turn it off. No one's ever really talked about it as much as what you did. And you know what? Sure. I suspected you're an empath. You did not put that down in your bio, but I have that on my list to ask about. And how does that work for you? Can you go in crowds and feel like a bunch of different emotions?
Well, I avoid crowds
and
it's almost like having, you know, a wide focus lens. The fewer people who are around me, the wider I can open the focus. And the more people around me, the narrower the focus gets. I have to maybe only use my field of vision to understand, you know, to be able to function. My husband will say, my husband and I are really like avid walkers. And he'll say, man, did you see they threw out that beautiful stove? Can you imagine? What could be wrong with that stove? And it's like, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. I was just putting one foot in front of the other at the time. You know, there was just so much going on for me that I know nothing about what you're saying. We walk past every single morning. And I've noticed you can kind of soothe things down. As an empath, you can kind of, it's almost like stroking the upset out of an energy. Every morning we walk past an old hospital. It's closed now, but it was the hospital in town. And when we round a corner every single morning, it's like someone has put a pound of bricks on my shoulders. It's just so heavy. And I feel like every morning I'm drawn to go to that corner again. Because every morning, like emotionally, I say, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine. Just let it go. Just, you know, just lean in, just let it go. And it gets exponentially better if, you know, if we're consistent about going there over and over and over. And it'll soothe it to the point where it's now, it doesn't make me sick. It doesn't make me tired. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't affect me quite so badly. And I feel like potentially I could apply that in a situation if someone had an oppression in their home or something where, you know, it was something maybe not so great going on there. I feel like maybe if that's something that I could do to maybe cool a situation down, cool a haunting.
You said you go into homes and that you cleanse spiritually. Do you use light sage?
I do not. No, I was never, I don't feel comfortable doing something that I was never instructed to do. Or
do you have a ritual that you follow?
I do. And it's mostly prayers, because I was taught by my grandmother, who was so heavily Catholic.
Catholic prayers?
I touch each wall and I say, basic prayer. Sometimes it's more of a meditative. I find that the Hail Mary is more of a meditative prayer. It has a good beat and it has a good rhythm, but it's usually Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of your mercy. And I feel like lead us to heaven, especially those in most need of your mercy. If there's something here oppressing people, that's probably the thing that's in the most need of mercy.
Right.
And it's more so me saying, you deserve mercy. You deserve peace. You don't deserve to be an oppressive force. You deserve to be good and light, and you need to leave this place so that you can join good energy. Don't stay here with bad energy, join good energy. That's my message, but the method that I use is, you know, the Catholic prayer.
Yeah, a lot of people like Michael, the Archangel.
Right, but that's a good one.
Specific for more demons.
Right.
Yeah, he fought demons. And then I like I like St. Francis, because I asked to be a conduit for peace. I'm trying to bring peace to the living and the dead.
Absolutely.
When I do house cleansings.
Absolutely. Well, I think I've only encountered one demon, and it was, you know, I was completely blindsided. Had a growl and almost like a prickly feeling, and I can't recommend it. I can't say that that's anything that anyone would want to experience. I pick up on bad energy. I pick up on fights in public. I know that the people are living, but the amount of turmoil that they were experiencing was so big that they left like a stain. It's like a stain on the floor, kind of. And I was in the grocery store with my husband, and I was in an area facing the wall, you know, looking through clearance bins or something. And I heard someone screaming behind me. I heard a fight. And, you know, your first instinct is like, oh, I want to see the fight. I'm going to turn around and, you know, what's going on? What's going down? Somebody get a camera, you know? So I hurried and turned around, and there's no one there. And I said, Naris, like, where is he? And he said, I'm coming. And I turned my back again, and it persisted, like it continued. And when he saw me, I was like, we need to go, because I'm not going to be okay with this if we stay around. And it's just, I think that if people understood the effect that their bad energy has on the environment around them, if you imagine like parents who fight and have so much bad energy in their home, and their children who were so prone and susceptible, you know, to, if you knew the amount of energy you were putting out with, you know, negativity, you wouldn't do it, because if you realized what you were putting out there. And when I pick it up, you know, we're not a screamy family. We're not, you know, we don't fight. We fight and we agree with each other when we're fighting. But, you know, it's almost shocking to see that someone would leave a psychic stain on the environment just from being so aggressive and so terrible.
That's what residual energy is all about. That's why at Gettysburg, you have that residual energy. It's surrounded through war, through that turmoil. Even
I'd be absolutely terrified of Gettysburg. I don't know if I would be able to enjoy the experience.
You might not. Yeah. Even routine energies can be absorbed through different things, through people too.
Right.
Yeah, that I like that. That's interesting. Have you been to Gettysburg? You don't want to go there?
Oh my God, no.
No.
I think that a school trip when I was a kid, I had a really difficult time on that trip. I noticed that if Norris and I like attend a concert or something in New Orleans, I try to stay to the more industrial areas of New Orleans. Like we stay near the convention center or, you know, somewhere kind of on the fringes. The Quarter is spirit soup. You know, you can catch it. You can catch it in the air with a jar. And if you're not prepared, and if you've, you know, if you haven't put yourself in the right headspace about it, it can really be damaging to you, to emotions. There's areas of New Orleans that are really popular areas that were the areas where the slave auctions were held, or where, you know, I mean, you can imagine if someone had a fight in Target and it upset me, what reaction do I have near the slave auction?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's where hoodoo and voodoo come from the slaves. You know, they created it. I think another term that goes along with voodoo and hoodoo is karma.
Is it really?
It's karma, right? It's because, and that's what a, kind of like a spell is all about, where you got to be careful what you say, your language. Like you say, damn you to somebody. Well, you've just pretty much put a spell on them. You've damned them. You know, so you got to be careful with language and how you use it. And especially that those negative connotations. But that's what I think karma is all about, that. But yeah, I don't know. I can see maybe a reason to have voodoo or hoodoo. Say, what if someone puts a spell on you now, or a hex on you? How do you get rid of that?
So in one of my previous lives, meaning like maybe 20 years ago, I was an apartment manager for elderly housing. And the area that I lived in, because I lived at the apartment complex, this is before I married my husband and my kids. The women there were practitioners of voodoo. And they taught me a lot about what goes on and the ins and outs of everything. Everything is intent. And you can choose to be a victim of that intent, or you can choose not to be a victim of that intent.
Oh.
So the people who, you know, I had to write up because of poor behavior or, you know, violations on their lease or something like that, I would get seed packets under my door. And
seed packets?
Yes. They would take a piece of paper, whoever this person, I'm not going to, you know, say that it was one person or another person, but whoever it was would take a piece of paper and put herbs and seeds in this piece of paper and fold it up. And they would draw, they would tape the edges and draw an X across it, like they were hexing me. And the funny thing about voodoo, and you know, believe what you will, but my experience, my personal experience of having, you know, whatever the intention was behind it, good, bad, silly, you know, whatever.
Doesn't sound good.
But no, it doesn't sound great, does it? But,
better than a dead chicken.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I did. There was another situation that wasn't quite so pretty, but I think that all of it is intention. We had a resident whose hair was falling out. And I mean, clumps of hair falling out. And it's because she got herself in such a state because someone put a hoodoo on her.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, baby, you have to, I call everybody baby. Apologies if I call you baby. But, you know, you have to, the way that you oppose this, the way that you fight this, is you make your intent stronger than their intent. If someone's trying to hex me and they're going to put, you know, this seed packet under my door and curse me or hex me or whatever, and I would go in front of them and tear it apart in their faces and say, this has no power over me. You have no power to hex me. Zero. You know, if this is your intention, I take it and I blow it back on you. There was something so incredible. If we get nothing out of this podcast and if we get nothing out of our conversation together, please let me tell you what Miss Betty said. Miss Betty was the voodoo queen. She really was. She was amazing. She told me that if there's an oppression in your home, no matter what it is, to take spirits of ammonia and mix it with water and do like a 10 to 1 ratio. 10 glasses or 10 cups of water per 1 cup of spirits of ammonia. You scrub your steps. You scrub the threshold of your doors. You scrub every entrance to your home. And you take the water and you throw it towards the west. And you say, return from whence you came. Those are the words of Miss Betty. And if you do that, you won't have a spirit oppression in your home. And this is something I've taken with me. I've told hundreds of people to do this. And if they had ill will, or, you know, if they were a couple who was bickering a lot or fighting a lot, or if there were bad energy and bad forces acting against them, you do that simple little cleansing. And it's almost like you've given it the power to improve the light and the energy in your home. You've given it the power. You took all the bad, you cleaned it, you threw it away. And now everything's going to be clean and cleansed and good energy.
Do you believe that?
Absolutely. I think all of it is intention.
Intent,
all
right.
All of it is intent. Like people who, I guess, maybe get upset with me about my opinions about religion or God or... but mostly religion. I think that the guiding force in that is that God is love, and saying that something that's good is something that you should give your energy to. So anything that's evil should be cleansed and removed from your life and thrown out like trash, thrown to the west, throw it to the west and say, return from whence you came. And we can all thank Miss Betty, who graciously, after she died, every time I told a joke, Miss Betty laughed in my right ear. So God bless Miss Betty.
Well, I'm going to have to write that recipe down. This is the book by Chetan Noir, guest that we've had on the show several times, To Fight Fire with Fire. And this is all different spells and recipes for spells. And if... you don't like your neighbor, whatever. There's a spell for every occasion. But some of the things that they use, the ingredients, were like holy water, whiskey, rum, vodka, salt, different kinds of salts, white sage, different kinds of oils, lavender oils, garlic. First urine of the day was one of the weird ones.
Ooh.
Your own blood, pine needles, cedar, crystals, different crystals. I use crystals when I'm in a house, blessing a house or trying to cleanse it. And then another one was graveyard dirt. And see, I had put graveyard dirt in my smudging bowl, but I did not tell any of the members because I didn't want them to know that I was, how weird I was.
Well, how did it work out for you? How did the graveyard dirt work out for you?
Well, the graveyard dirt was from the grave of my grandfather, who was a ghost hunter, who had taught me how to hunt ghosts from 5 years old. He was a real
thing. So it was your graveyard dirt, because I don't know. I'm a graveyard enthusiast. I don't know if.
Well, I left a few pennies even though it was my grandfather's grave. I still left a few pennies Yeah, I didn't want to steal graveyard dirt and you know.
Oh, no, no, no.
It seemed like a good thing.
When we were younger, we used to bring cigarettes to Marie Laveau's tomb.
Oh.
And we would go to visit Marie Laveau's tomb and leave her cigarettes. And now you can't get into the graveyard unless you're on like a tour. You have to pay money to get into the graveyard now. But when we were younger, we could just go there and do it. And people would bring and leave things on her tomb. But one of the things that I kind of hold to is that graveyard soil, and there's signs here. I mean, you know, because we're not pagan. We're totally not, you know, it's not witchcraft at all.
I use a lot of pagan stuff.
Graveyards are sanctified land, and you can't remove sanctified land from a sanctified site. And, you know, if I went to my father's grave or my grandparents' grave and I removed dirt, I would be removing my dirt. But to go to a graveyard and remove the dirt from the graveyard, right. I mean, you'll get in big trouble.
I didn't want anyone to know, but then I got this book. I got this book and I read this book and I thought,
and there you go.
I'm not the only one.
So do y'all
know? Quick question.
Yes.
Adele, does that apply to cemeteries as well? Because graveyards and the cemeteries are two different things, or does it apply to all?
Well, I think that we one in the same here. A cemetery and a graveyard all go under the same name here. I really don't know if there's much of a distinction in our minds. Our burial is a lot different. We do a lot of above ground tomb burial because of the water table being Louisiana? So high.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, after this summer, we've had rain. I want to say probably on average, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to say we've had a deluge at least.
Oh. Uh-oh. Froze up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. She's froze.
Well, that's unusual. We've been going quite long.
I know, with nothing. She might have to get back on. I don't know if she can hear us either.
We shouldn't have been talking about cemeteries and rain.
I know, graveyards and stealing graveyard dirt.
You know, as she was talking, Mama Mary, about some of these things that she has a hard time shutting down with, would crystals, if she carried certain crystals with her, would that assist her with shutting down some of these things she seems to be struggling with?
Yeah, you could like carry like black tourmaline, black obsidian, things like that ground your energy.
Yeah.
And it also blocks the negative energy. You know, just like when she was talking about seeing, you know, her grandmother seeing spirit. I see spirit all the time. It's just sort of like, I don't acknowledge it. Like I recognize that it's there and I see it flitting by, or I see images and the things flash in my head. I ground myself and I don't allow myself to acknowledge it. Only because if I opened up all the time,
Del's I'd be back.
Chaotic.
Yeah. You know, like when she said that little child peeked under the stall in the bathroom, you know, if she was carrying some crystals, would that have stopped that from happening?
It could have, definitely. I know I would pee my pants. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Yeah. You're crooked.
I'm so sorry.
there you go.
I'm so sorry about that. My phone overheated.
That's okay.
Oh, well, we're kind of at the end of the show. I mean, we need to move on with some things, devices that we always put in our shows. And I'd start out with a shout out. Ben Goldman was our previous guest from Afterlife Road. And then he had some funny stories. We talked about spirit mappers. Have you ever heard of that, Adele? Spirit mappers?
That's amazing. That is such a fascinating topic. I can't wait to listen to the podcast.
Oh,
I can't wait. I'm so excited to hear that. Yeah, absolutely.
And then what
I'm
was
pretty
it?
Sure I shared it. So if you go to my Facebook profile, it should be there.
All right, excellent. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely listen to it.
What's interesting is Brandon Jose, our other member, he's like an authority on the paranormal, and it's kind of a new thing, and he hadn't even heard of it. So, yeah. And then these stories that Ben told were pretty funny. And then I did an article on Ben and in Bath Cemetery. Bath Cemetery is one of the worst. It's the worst school massacre in U.S. history. It happened right here in Bath, Michigan. And then we have connections that there's haunted little girls that are haunting the cemetery. So
that's so sad.
I did an article on that is appearing in WKTV Journal. Do you have any shout outs, Mama Mary? Shout out.
Just to my co-partner, Gigi from Paranormal XL, and my best friend, Kristen Roberts. Okay. Both of them are going through a little issues right now, so I just said love and light and healing.
Yeah. And then, Kim, shout out to anybody?
No, I'm going to be actually attending the Felt Mansion haunted tour this year. It was put on hold last year because of the coronavirus, but I'll be attending. They're doing it October 29 and 30 this year. I think there's three different time frames that you can attend the event. It's a 60-minute tour, sort of a self-guided tour at the Felt Mansion, and that's locally here near Holland. So you can do your own ghost hunting, you can bring equipment in, and they give you access to parts of the mansion premises that is normally cut off from the public. Okay.
All right. Wow. That's more under the upcoming. But Adele, anybody you want to shout out to? Someone that's been a mentor to you or great support for you along the way?
Actually, my husband's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. My best friends have been fantastic to me, Todd and Cindy. And Dylan, who keeps moving and having me do cleansing for his house, he's been a huge help to me. My mom has been phenomenal in all of this. And I would, if it's okay for me to mention, I have an Etsy shop where I make and sell my voodoo dolls, and I sell hair accessories that I make out of discarded graveyard flowers, if that's okay.
What do you make?
She makes shrunken heads.
I make shrunken heads out of paper.
No lie.
No.
It takes her like 8 months to make a shrunken head.
I could use a shrunken head right now.
Right?
Well, my website is Odelle, O-D-D-E-L-L-E. I have a card here.
Oh, with yeah.
Oh, so it's like oddities, odd, O-D-D-E-L-L-E. And that's my Etsy shop. If you go to odelle.com, you'll be linked to my Etsy shop, and you'll see all the little kooky little things that I make.
That's great.
The voodoo dolls that I have listed there are like heritage voodoo dolls. Those are the original actual voodoo dolls that were actually used and made here in Louisiana. A lot of the other things that you see are, you know, but for the tourists, but these are the real deal. This is the genuine article. 100% Miss Betty approved.
Wow. So. Wow. That's why we used that intro that talked about, you know, pins in my heart and stuff. Right. And it's going to fit right into our final thought that we're going to get to. Upcoming and ongoing events, we have Chris Bailey of Grimstone Incorporated, a paranormal investigators coming on their next show. So they're ghost hunters. They've been doing it for 20 years. They're out of Detroit. So I want to see if I can get some insights from those guys. And then following them is Joe Shortridge, who is another, he does a paranormal podcast. It's called 222 Paranormal Podcast. Are you familiar with that, Kim?
I am. I've interviewed with them before. And
He said, Brandon ran into him. They were set across from us at an event. I think maybe when you and I met.
Yep.
Oh,
many years ago. Yep.
All right. And then final thought. We always like to do a final thought where everybody weighs in. And it's the final thought is about there's Annabelle, who's with Ed and Lorraine Warren. And there's, of course, Chucky. Do you believe that there's such a thing as voodoo dolls? That's our final thought. Mm-hmm. And is there power in the voodoo doll? Because the Chucky was based on Robert, which was a real story of a haunted doll. So yeah, that's the final thought. Anybody want to jump in?
I think that voodoo dolls are real. I think that your intention should be for good. I make my voodoo dolls with glass hearts so that you can't pierce the heart. Because I think that if you harm someone else, there's a nice little saying. It goes, voodoo unto others before they voodoo unto you. And I think that if you go after someone with poor intent, it's going to come right back at you.
It's that karma. I'm telling you, karma is good.
Put out love and light and good energy, and it'll come back to you too. You can use voodoo for good. You can use anything for good.
Right.
Yeah. Well, with Annabelle, she was a vessel. So, right. You know, wherever Annabelle would go, the vessel, it would take on different vessels. So, you know, one vessel may come and then it would go. And if you get, you know, a demon in that vessel, they could do a lot of harm wherever that, you know, so-called doll would be. So what they did is they put her in a glass case, and the glass was from a church, I think it was. And then it seemed to contain the evil. That's the whole part of it.
I didn't know you knew so much about it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I kind of like it.
Oh.
It's another freaky side of me.
We keep pulling these layers. I'm more and more layers. Mama Mary, I know you have so many layers. You got a Chucky doll in the closet?
Oh, my God, no, because dolls creep me out.
Oh, yeah.
The Annabelle doll creeps me out. Chucky creeps me out. I might buy a voodoo doll from you, Adele. I'm going to check out the page as soon as I'm done. I'm thinking about it. What I'm going to do, really, is I'm going to make the voodoo doll after me so I can give it massages. So that I can have a massage. Yes. Work?
You can give yourself a massage. How about if you buy yourself a massage? That would work.
I try, but it doesn't feel as good. My husband won't do it. He only do it for a few seconds and he gets bored.
Oh no.
Wait until you see the pictures of her shrunken heads.
The heads are
creepy. Yeah. They're creepy. But a good creepy.
Check it out.
This is good bizarre.
Creepy. I like you that know, creepy.
I think there's such a thing as closet witches.
Well, the fun thing about me is I look completely normal.
Yeah.
And it's I think more disarming that the people who, you know, look witchy hear me speak and go like, what? Like she legitimately knows what she's talking about. Pretty fun.
Well, I've been to a lot of museums where they have all this collection of these dolls, and they are creepy. They can be very creepy, but I don't think you necessarily need a voodoo doll for someone to stick needles in your heart.
Right.
That can happen in everyday life. So that's my opinion on the subject. Now it's the inspirational thought. And then the show is over. So, Adele, the Louisiana Cajun lady.
Right.
Thanks so much.
I appreciate it so much, guys. It's been so much fun.
Yeah.
I think that you should do everything with love in your heart. When you cook your food, cook it with love. When you kiss your babies, kiss them with love. Every time you see somebody that you love, tell them you love them. Show people that you love them. We're not promised tomorrow, and lead with your heart.
Right. Mama Mary Bassett, thanks for setting in for Brandon Jose. Shout out to Brandon, our normal co-host. Mm-hmm. Always a pleasure talking with you. Kim Colleen, another one. You're a gear to this magic bus, and I appreciate that. I had an inspiration 3 years ago when the light went on. I said, call Kim Colleen, the gal you only met once, and see if she wants to do it. Podcast with you. So then all the synchronicity started from that point on, right? So it's been an amazing journey, 3 years.
We're soul brother and sister. I know what
that's
it is.
What I'm thinking. You're my synchronicity sister. It was like synchronicity at first sight.
Yep.
So I have a very positive, inspirational thought, and it's real simple. Always remember, you are beautiful, you are worthy, you are important, you are special, you are unique, you are talented, you are irreplaceable. Stick around. Beautiful. Stick around so you can see our next show. Thanks, absolutely, everybody. Peace out.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Podcast, located at 901 Zion Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.